Breathe on us, O God, that we may be filled with your Spirit and led by your living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Bless the word of my lips and the meditations of our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. These people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition. Jesus telling to Pharisees and the scribes, quoting Isaiah chapter 29, verses 13, "These people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away." What about us? Where is our hearts? And where is our lips or words, what we are saying? Are we just hearers or just what we are saying? But whether there is actually actions that speaks loudly where our hearts are located. In order to understand the situation, what this message really means, we need to understand in what circumstances that Isaiah 29 was spoken about these people honoring God with their lips, but do not trust Him, and their hearts are far away from God. Isaiah was the prophet who's walking in a southern part of Israel called Judea at the time of his living of B.C. 740 till 600 something. The dates and the years are always my weakness in history, so I can't remember correctly. But you can imagine, 6 centuries before Jesus was born. So it was a long time ago. At that time, Israel was divided between North Israel and South Judea. And North Israel was just invaded by Assyrian Empire. So when they were invading from the south, from the north, they occupied the northern Israel. And then the Judea, the people in the south of Israel, were afraid it's their turn now. Assyria will attack them in a day or two even. And they were all worried. And the king of southern part of Judea started to think the political arrangement with Egypt in a southern part of another empire. If you can remember the map, the northern part of Assyria and the southern part of the Egypt was the only civilization that grew powerful. So Assyria was expanding and Israel was in between, swallowed by it. And the Judea is making a tactical step. Very clever, I must tell you, as a political move. They connected with Egypt. And there is a gap. Gap between what Israel people confess, that we believe in God, that God will protect us. But in behind, they are not asking God to protect them, but they are asking Egypt to protect them. You see where they are speaking and where their hearts are separated here, because their hearts are full of fear and the worries and the doubts that they cannot just kneel down in prayer. They have to do something. And that's where many of the messages of the Isaiah was demanding the repentance of the Israel. You are not saying what you believe. Your lips are honoring God, but your hearts are far from it. In vain, you worship God, but you always follow the human precepts as the doctrines. Now, in that context, that the history of the Israel is coming down to today's story in Mark chapter 7. When Jesus' disciples were eating food, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees found a clue to criticize. Why don't you wash? Why didn't your disciples wash your hand before eating? Because that is the tradition. That is the teachings of our elders. It doesn't matter where their hearts are. It was a matter for the many Israeli people, those following rules and regulations of the religion. And that's where James chapter 4, the epistles reading that we are starting from today, is emphasizing again and again. You should not be just the hearers of the word, but you have to act upon it. You have to be a doer of the word. We all understand that. There are gaps between what we say and sometimes what our hearts desire. And today we celebrate the Father's Day. And sometimes I have to confess that when I say that, congratulations, Father's Day, Daddy. I don't think I never actually said that because in Korea we don't have a Father's Day. We have a Parents' Day though. On 8th of May, so we actually say parents instead of father as in person. So in a way that I don't believe ever had a chance to actually say it in front of my father, saying that I love you. I hope I can do it soon when he visits. But there are some times that when I face my father in the computer screen of the Skype conversation every Friday, sometimes I feel very tired and thinking of the preparing the worship, my mind occupied by other way. And I was thinking, oh yes, Daddy, how are you? This is the kids. So I actually move away from the camera so that I don't need to face all the time. And my children were entertaining in some ways, playing things. I admit that sometimes our words and actions are not always aligned. And that's the question. Where is our heart in terms of God's message? What is really in our hearts filled at the moment? I'd like to introduce you two different stories of the lip services. You know what the lip services are, right? It's just the saying for the sake of the polite social environment of the lip services. And it's not necessarily always the lip services uses as the English expression of the lip services, as I may say. The first story is the story of the Kung village in Africa. The behavioral economist was actually investigating how human behaves, and according to our selfish ego, or for the greater good of the others. So they have developed this theory of the group selection hypothesis that have two groups of, one group is egocentric and the egoistic selfish group, and the other group is altruistic selfless group. Now, then ask the people, which group do you want to belong? Which group do you want to belong? Selfish group or the selfless group? And I do know that as a Christian, most of us at least, we would be inclined to belong to the selfless group because we learned from Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, the study shows in the world, 80% of the research people said that they want to belong to the egoistic selfish group because they can do whatever they like. It can be more benefit to them. They didn't need to go out for the community activities like our community garden. They didn't need to sacrifice their life when your neighbors are in difficult time, like their house is burnt down. The altruistic, selfless group people were all get together and putting their materials and the money to build your neighbor's house. Very nice, but you have to sacrifice to make that kind of community work. So Richard Lee, the anthropologist from Canada, was spending 3 years in remote African village called Kung to investigate this selfless group, because this village of Kun was a well-known place for a primitive living group of the people in the village supporting each other and showing the example of altruistic life. At the end of the 3 years of his study, he wanted to give thanks back to the village people who interviewed and helped him for 3 years. So he prepared a presentation for the Christmas celebration of fat cow. Even though they were in Africa, since the missionary came, they were celebrating the Christmas, killing the fattest cow for the celebration of the whole village. So this time, Richard was giving a present of the fat cow. But the response, when he gave the fat cow, the response from the village was quite strange, actually absurd, even upsetting. Because the village people came to him and in front of him saying that, "Where did you buy this very thin cow? There are nothing else to eat. How much did you pay?" "That much? You must be deceived by the merchant. This wasn't worth like that. You are a fool." There was no single word of appreciation from the villager. Richard was so perplexed. "Why? Did I really buy a wrong cow?" And then the Christmas day came, and he actually saw all the village gathered around and having a great party, everyone laughing, everyone enjoying the cow, the beef in this case, of course. And then he was hoping then, since I'm looking at they are enjoying it, they may give me some appreciation. So he approached to the table, and once again, everyone in the village was telling to him the same story of the negative comments of the, "Oh, you are a fool buying this thin cow with that price? No, you are a foolish man." In despair, he asked his translator and the assistance of the local. And the local man was explaining that that was a custom of that village. If someone brings a huge contribution, in order to make him or her not to be too proud of what they have done, they were intentionally making that kind of negative comment and the jokes. So they all know that that is the joke. And this foreigner, Richard, was feeling isolated. Why they do that? The explanation was simple. They are the hunters and gatherers. And the one man went out to occasionally hunt an animal. They bring it to the village and everyone shares. What happens if the man who actually killed the animal claims that it is his contribution? "I have done this." And what happens if that repeats? Because there are some men who are better hunters, right? If it repeats, there is a power forming around him, because he is normally the one who brings the animal that people want to give him a praise and give him a kind of a good intention to him, so that when he divides the food later on, they can be advantaged too. So the power is growing in the community, and the community, which used to be altruistic, selfless community, has become and can become a very selfish, the power-driven community that brings down the goodness of others into one man or the small group of the powerful people dominating and dictating. Isn't it amazing that sometimes in our Christian community also, that when the community is growing and the building stronger, for example, the mega churches in Korea that I have always mentioned to you with shame in my heart, those mega churches build up the so many trust and the power onto the minister. And I know that one minister announced his retirement and the entire elders went to his house begging to cancel his retirement because if he retires, our church will collapse. They forgot that it was God actually who used that minister to build up the church. It is not that minister's church, it is God's church. And that is an example and the mistake that we as a human being can make if we are not careful enough, if we are preventing those kind of individual pride can actually bubbling up inside of the community, because that can be contagious and the power struggle always happens. But for Christian communities, we can avoid that kind of power struggle because we are Christians. Because we know that God is doing all things behind us. Because we can say, it is not me did, it is God who actually did behind us. And we can say, God has done this instead of I have done this, right? And if we genuinely saying and meaningfully, God has done this, and then no one will be able to claim a credit out of what God has done. And the God's community can remain peaceful in that. The second story of what our lip services sometimes can contribute to or ruin. This is the story of our gospel reading in chapter 7. We have selected verses, but we have omitted verse 9 to 13, where there was an example that Jesus Christ was saying what Israel people were doing their lip services. This is involved with the korban. Have you heard about the korban? Which means in Israel is offered to God. It became an offering to God. When korban was declared to the property or the possession of the people as an offering to God, it instantly belongs to the temple. But there is a trick. There is no due date. You can just declare that korban, which means in the house, for example, you can still live it until you die. You're just living in God's house. That's all. What this has been a problem and became a lip service was that in cases of the children who need to financially support their parents or their relatives, if they don't want to, they can declare korban. Lip service to the church, offering to God, but they don't need to sell it immediately. They can actually still leave it there forever. So this is where that Jesus Christ pointed out that you have abandoned God's commandment. Because in the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments was that honor your parents. Instead of honoring and financially supporting your parents, that they could say korban. And then they don't need to sell their possessions nor their properties to support. So that's where the criticism and the truth coming out, that they were using their elders' traditions or even the commandment of God for the sake of their own benefit, that is ruining the relationship of them and their parents. People honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, was the messages of God through the mouth of Isaiah. You abandon the commandments of God and hold to human tradition. So what are the human traditions that we are holding? And what are the God's commandments today that we are in danger of abandoning in our church? Leading two services in South Melbourne and Port Melbourne gives me an amazing experience of the wider practices of the Christian liturgy. And for a Korean, I was also reminded when we need to stand up and when we were sitting down. And normally in our church, we stand up when we were singing the hymn, right? And also prayer of dedication as a symbolizing action of that we are standing before God literally. But in South Melbourne, there are so many songs, and they are getting elderly too. So I can't actually invite them to stand up every time they have responses of the singing communion session. So the whole communion, I encourage them to remain seated, and they sing as well. And of course, Korean churches don't stand while we are singing. We're actually sitting down all the time, except at the beginning and at the end for the benediction we stand. For singing, we're always sitting down. So those are the kind of the traditions of the different denomination and the different churches are holding. But at the moment that we say that this is the truth, you must follow this way. You must stand whenever you sing. That is the right tradition you have to observe. And that moment becomes that we are following and upholding those human traditions. What's most important in worship? It is our heart. It is our gratefulness. It is our genuine sacrifice to God. And nothing else matters. And only the structures and the liturgies that we are following is because it works to us. It helps us to connect with God. And that is the reason why we do, how we do. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, what is in the hearts of God's commandment that we should uphold? And you and I remember that Jesus Christ gave us 2 commandments among 10 commandments, right? Because from 1 to 4 commandments of the 10 commandments is talking about the relationship between God and people. And the 5 to 10 commandments of the 10 commandments are the relationship between human. So the 2 commandments Jesus gave was that love your God with your whole heart, mind, and strength. And the 2nd one was, and love your neighbors as yourself. So the summary of the commandment that Jesus gave, that's right. They are the commandments of God. And sometimes we forget. Our actions and our behaviors sometimes do not speak loudly of why we are doing it. Many of our programs, of our projects of the Uniting, even though Uniting wanted to be, are not as seen as what God is doing, but actually what Uniting Church is doing. I don't believe, I don't need to be too critical like a Kung village here. But the important part is that we need to say out loud and we need to act is that this is what God is doing. This is what God is doing. And in that, we need to give thanks to God and glorify God's name. 16th century reformers have introduced so many important core values of the church, and they call it 3 solas or the 5 solas. Do you remember? Only faith, only grace, and only scripture, and only Christ, and only the glory of God. Those 5 solas emphasizing how important it is to glorify God's name and God's name only. Whatever we do, when we do the tidying up of our garden in our working bee, when we do actually turning off those smelly compost, and when we clean up the church, and when we serve each other with the morning tea, we do it for God's glory. And in that, let us give thanks to God and be joyful, because that is the commandment that God wants us to follow and keep. Remember, sola scriptura, sola gratia, sola fides, solus, sola Christus, and the soli Deo gratia. My Latin is really bad, but you know what it means, right? You know what the contents are. It is our hearts giving to God as our sacrifice of worship. In that, may we continue to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the footsteps of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.